Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. I'm meeting with Ron Holt, CEO and founder of Two Maids and a Mop. And headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, Two Maids and a Mop provides residential house cleaning franchise opportunities across the country. I'm going to talk to Ron about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around, because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Everyone, welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 8 years, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Ron Holt, the CEO and founder of Two Maids and a Mop. And headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, Two Maids and a Mop provides residential house cleaning franchise opportunities across the country. Now let's go right into our interview with Ron Holt of Two Maids and a Mop.
Where are you calling from this morning, Ron?
Marty, I'm calling from hot and humid Birmingham, Alabama.
I figured you were going to say that. Well, that's okay. You know, at least you guys have some pretty good winters down there, though, don't you, Ron?
We do when the occasional snow hits, so it's considered a blizzard, however. So
that's fantastic. The you know, your company and you're just your background. I mean, you have an amazing history, Ron. I thought maybe we could, like, just jump right into the history of Two Maids and a Mop.
You bet. I'd love to talk about it. I'm actually the CEO and the founder of Two Maids and a Mop. Just over 12 years ago, I actually started the very first Two Maids and a Mop down in Pensacola, Florida, another hot humid market.
Yeah.
At the time, we were the epitome of a small business. We had a couple of part-time employees and literally just cleaned five homes during that first week of business. And we're really just trying to find our way at that particular time. That was April Fool's Day of all days in 2003, the first day.
That's great.
So since then, we've obviously switched gears and really figured out our way and learned a lot about the industry itself and what some of the weaknesses were back in the day and figured out ways to make those strengths for our brands. Since then, we've grown from that one original Two Maids and a Mop in Pensacola to almost 20, we're at 19, about to be 20 locations across the U.S. 2 years ago, Inc. Magazine actually recognized our company as the fastest growing cleaning company in America. So we're real proud
That's
of
great.
Our history and our current success.
How did that feel for you, Ron? I mean, that's a pretty big accolade, isn't it? I mean, I know when I saw that, I was very impressed.
It's funny because more than 10 years ago, I really started understanding more about what our brand needed to become in order to actually become a brand. So I created a vision for our business, and one of those visions was to be recognized as one of the fastest growing, most innovative residential cleaning businesses in America. So that was a vision that I created. The truth is I didn't know how realistic it was. So to actually be recognized in that manner is pretty impressive and humbling.
It is very impressive. And I'm so glad you said that. I teach for Kaplan University, and it was funny, last week we were talking about vision statements and mission statements and the importance of writing it down, and I was mentioning to the students, I said, your chance of hitting that goal, it increases exponentially when you write it down. So I'm glad you said that, because I'm gonna play the clip for them and say, here, look at Ron, look what he did, because it's fantastic. It's a great example, isn't it?
It is. I'm certainly the. I'm a small town guy from southern Georgia, and really have worked hard to get where I am. But along the way, if not only with Two Maids and a Mop, almost every success I've had started with an initial dream of some sort. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew I wanted to get there. And then once I created that goal, that vision, then we started putting together plans and processes to get there.
That's fantastic.
Keeps you focused, for sure.
Sure, absolutely. And, you've guys had a number of accolades over the years, too. I mean, it wasn't just the particular one I just mentioned. I saw over the years, that you've been recognized by a lot of different media publications and organizations. And, as far as press and articles, it seems like you're all over the place as well. So I think you guys did a great job with that. Did you know early on, Ron, when you were thinking about all this, did you think about franchising as a means for, growing the business? Or is it something that just kind of came along with the evolution of the business?
It definitely evolved early on. Franchising was not necessarily the route, there's not the method for scale. We were actually opening organic stores, our own company stores. At the height of our business, we had 12 corporate stores. We've since reduced that to five or six corporate stores, with the balance being all franchise locations. Long run, we will all be, other than our home office, we'll all be franchise locations. The organic growth we had early on was very successful. Didn't have any failures there, but the infrastructure required to maintain that type of scale from the high level employees all the way down to the actual cleaners was both expensive overreaching. So we preferred the franchising as a method of growth, primarily because a franchise partner is just that. They're a partner. They're not working for us. They're working with us. And the conversations are different. They're more rewarding for me. And our system has actually seen a boon since our change in focus from corporate growth to franchise growth. We've seen our system actually be improved. We've actually even had some suggestions from franchise owners that have improved the system. So this is something we actually started franchise just a couple of years ago. Had pretty fast growth since then. If I could go back in time and change one thing, it would be to begin franchising earlier in our history rather than later. So.
That's great. That's a strong testimony. It's funny because I was when we were doing the show last week, Ron, we were talking about Michael Gerber, and I know Michael Gerber had an impact on your business as well, didn't he?
He sure did. He's actually, I've never met Mr. Gerber, but I have met some people that have worked with him along the years. We actually brought in his, I'm not sure if you know this, we actually brought in his chief operations officer four or five years ago
to
help us draft all the systems that we're now working off. But believe it or not, with our corporate stores, our operations manual was barely that. We just had a few dozen pages, and we assumed that's really all you needed to know. Once we really started getting serious about systems, we started learning more about the eMyth and how that works.
Yeah.
We brought in some eMyth folks and spent weeks here in Birmingham working side by side with those guys.
Wow.
Drafting our original ops manual.
That I think that's probably part of your success too, is working with someone like that, or, you know, and someone within his organization. I'm sure that's attributed to your success as well.
It has, for sure. Number one, we take a lot of pride in all the different systems we have. I mean, we have more than 500 pages of nothing but systems to run a cleaning business.
Wow.
12 years ago, when I first purchased the business, one of the things that I was attracted to was the fact that it was just a cleaning business. Today,
right.
500 pages that say this is how you actually operate a cleaning business. So
that's amazing.
Without the eMyth and the principles behind it, we would have a difficult time growing this brand in the manner we have.
I think that's great. I can't tell you how many times he's been referenced on the show, Ron. I mean, Michael Gerber, you know, we've had him on the show, I think it was three times, you know, in the last like 9 years, you know, but it's amazing. I mean, anyone that I know who's ever worked with him or anyone with his company, you know, has always come out very successful, you know. So I said, there's definitely something to, you know, Michael Gerber. I think he's great as well. So,
yeah, you know, I actually recently read a survey from the Small Business Administration they did on businesses that have been open anywhere from 0 to 5 years, and roughly 30%, I don't forget the exact number, but roughly 30% of businesses were actually open, still open for business after 2 years.
Yeah.
Wrong number. 70% have been open for 2 years.
70%.
However,
okay.
More than 90% were closed in 5 years. So that
wow.
year 2 to 5 is a big deal for most small businesses.
It is.
Come into play.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. I think that's fantastic. You're listening to Franchise Interviews, and we're speaking with Ron Holt, the CEO and founder of Two Maids and a Mop. And Ron, how has technology played a role in your success?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked, because we actually like to call ourselves a technology company that just happens to clean homes. How we
right.
clean a floor or a bathroom or a toilet or a sink is really no different than it was 20 years ago. However, how we automate the processes to get inside that home and to clean effectively is completely automated today. And so everything from the marketing engine behind our business to the actual hiring platform is 100% technology-based today.
Wow.
So as a franchise owner, if you're on vacation in the Caribbean, you'll be able to plug into your business and see everything you'll need to know in terms of operating metrics. And we take a lot of pride in that. That's a 360, actually 180, compared to where we were just 5-6 years ago. But we really got serious about technology about that point, and again, the business really started taking off at about that same exact time.
That's great, and the technology does help you become more productive, doesn't it, Ron? I mean, you've been doing this, you know, a while now, you know, so I'm sure you're more technology oriented today than you were, you know, going back,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
10 years ago, you know. So I think that's fantastic.
If I could just give you a real quick example, with our hiring platform, years ago, when I founded the original Pensacola location, when I was the hiring manager at that point, and my hiring
right.
practices were unfortunately not the greatest in the world and 100% subjective in most cases.
Right, right.
We now have our own customized software tool that actually quantifies, ranks an individual job applicant on a 0 to 100 scale after three phases of interview sessions. So all of that uses technology. There is zero subjectivity to it when it comes to hiring someone. It's all based on an actual quantifiable number. And gone are the days when we really just hire someone based on 10 seconds of initial thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's so important because I think, I think I'd have the same problem too, Ron, you know, hiring people, you know, it just, it must be very difficult, you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, they seem like a really nice person, you know, and, you know, I think they might be a good match for our organization. But, you know, the truth is you don't know. And by using that technology, it makes it so much easier for your franchisees, doesn't it, in hiring people?
It does. We hear that a lot. We're very slow to hire here. And that's a good thing for us. Even though in our industry turnover is rampant in our industry as a whole, we're very proud of the fact that our turnover levels are below the most of the industry averages that we hear about.
Wow, that's fantastic. The I was also talking about, I said this show is perfect with timing for my marketing students. We were talking about competitive advantages. Does Two Maids and a Mop have any unique competitive advantages, Ron?
Absolutely. There's two big ones in my mind. Number one, the way we actually market ourselves is completely different than most of our industry. We actually, again, use technology as our friend there. And focus. I'm a big believer in focus. So we dedicate all of our marketing dollars in one channel, the internet, in some way, whether it's social media, search engine optimization, pay-per-click, various other things as well. But it's all online. We actually don't use any offline marketing, which is very atypical for our type of business. I mean, most people, most homeowners are accustomed to getting the flyers in the mail or the door hangers on the door, you know, and we actually are a little bit more new school, and that's allowed us to attract a very definitive type of buyer. We know exactly who's going to call our office because the way we market, we know the almost all the way down to the size of their home when they call us. Sometimes we freak them out when we tell them. We know everything about them, you know, but the internet allows you to profile,
do that.
You know, in terms of the graph. So that's one huge thing. Now, the biggest, and this one's all, the second has really been our staple. It's more of our secret sauce. It's something we call the pay-per-performance plan.
Right.
It really works like this. Think of yourself as an actual consumer right now. Every time we were to clean your home, we're going to give you an opportunity to rate the service on a really simple scale of just 1 to 10, you know. That number and that number by itself directly determines the actual compensation level for the Two Maids who are cleaning your home. So it obviously generates a very motivational type of tactic to get
people
interested in serving you. But as the franchise owner or the office manager, it also provides you with a very unique selling tool that's really unheard of in our industry. It's 100% customer feedback determines 100% of our wages for our employees. So that's a powerful statement that most cleaning companies are really just too scared to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was very impressed, you know, when I started researching your company and I saw that. And I like how you classify it as like the secret sauce, you know. I mean, I think that is very clever. I haven't seen anybody doing anything like this, you know, since we've been doing the show, you know. So I think that's fantastic, you know. So I really think that's great.
We're proud of it as well. The plan itself was born out of necessity. It did not. The original roots were not meant to be the cornerstone of our business. But once we started executing it and talking about it and marketing the plan, it was pretty obvious that we had something unique and powerful.
I assume it works pretty well too, doesn't it, Ron? I mean, as far as even like your evaluations, you know, or the evaluations of, the maid service, I bet you the numbers are pretty high up there. I don't know if it was like on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, whatever it may be, but I suspect that the ratings are pretty high, if I imagine.
Sure, yeah. There's the occasional, you know, low rating, obviously, where people overall, yeah, they're very high. Our attrition rate for our customers is really less than 5%. So people overall very satisfied. What it does mostly is creates a culture of accountability from day one.
That is so important.
You know, someone who works for our company has never heard of, they've never been paid in this manner with a job. So it's brand new to them when they initially hear. But once they walk inside that office and actually become a part of the team, everyone else just, that's the world they know, you know. So it's created a culture of accountability that we never had before. And we no longer have to be a police officer. It's self-policing.
Right. What about the characteristics of your franchisees, Ron? I mean, what do you look for? You know, when I was on the website, I saw like a look like, you know, a husband and wife couple. I saw there was one woman, she was a single mom, you know, but you know, what do you look for as far as like characteristics go in your franchisees?
Yeah, what we've seen, number one, we look for the market. You know, we're mm-hmm. young enough right now, we can be somewhat selective with our markets. We're not just opening to open, we're opening strategically. So we actually target markets, number one. And then number two, we target personalities. We
right.
want someone very passionate. I love Two Maids and a Mop. I have two, little girl and a little boy, and I love both mm-hmm. of them, but I have a third child, too, that's Two Maids and a Mop. So while it's very difficult for someone to have the same kind of passion, we do, as a founder at least, you know, we do search
yeah.
for people that have some internal passion to really become an entrepreneur, to become a business owner, someone that's really maybe somewhat tired of corporate America, someone that's really chasing a dream. We're not really that interested in folks
right.
who are investment professionals. We want someone that has fire because we
mm-hmm.
can't create that fire. You know, they got to have it internally. We've been very fortunate to find both great markets and great people. We have right now 14 franchise owners. All 14 of those folks are my best friends. They really
wow.
have fallen in love with our brand. I've fallen in love with them, and you know, while it's very difficult for us to maintain that as we grow, more than likely, we do have that as a near-term goal, and we want people to be passionate about our story, not just me as the founder, but also our franchise owners. So, passion is key. So if we and that's somewhat subjective. You know, it takes
sure.
a conversation like this to know what type of person you're dealing with, but we do that both in person and over the phone, by email. We really search long and hard for people that we feel that will jump into this business head first and be a great cheerleader for our business and brand.
It's interesting, Ron, you know, and you know, just talking just now, you know, it's how often I've heard, you know, the founder or the owner of a company, I mean, they really do compare it to almost like, as you said, like a third child. It really becomes that, doesn't it? You know,
yeah.
So, and I think that's so important for your success, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, my wife may disagree with that.
That's true. That's great. It's fantastic. What about like the training? I mean, how does that work, Ron? I mean, then do they come to, do they come to Alabama? Is that how it works? You know, once you decide, you know?
It's half and half. Yeah, we have 10 days of training. Five of those are lecture-style, seminar-style training sessions that are
okay.
here in Birmingham in our home office. The other 5 days are on-site. They're actually 5 days prior to your grand opening. We do a lot of things from confirming that you can operate all the software. Our business is all software-based. It's all
mm-hmm.
technology-based, so there's a lot of software to understand and learn how to use. There's some practical things. We literally get out in the field with a franchise owner, and we clean a home or two or three.
Right.
And so we can't do that here. We do that on the ground. So we'll have 10 full days of training, five lecture style, five practical. And they're intensive.
That's great.
They're very intensive. It's all brand new for a lot of people. And a lot of people come to us with the same mentality I had 12 years ago that, heck, it's just a cleaning business. You can't be that
right.
complicated, right? But it's like
sure.
any other business. There's a lot of insides to it that
oh, yeah.
are required in order to operate the machine.
What's the feeling like for you, Ron? I mean, you know, every time a new franchise opens, you know, I mean, I can only imagine it must be a great feeling to you know, that you were part of this whole thing. You know, you started this thing, you know, a while back, and now you got people, you know, becoming franchisees. What's that feeling like for you?
It's unbelievable. My wife,
I imagine.
Funny story, you said that, because just recently my wife and I were down in Florida.
Yeah.
We were just on vacation. And we were driving from the airport to the beach, and it was just a simple drive, no real brain activity. And as we're driving, we saw a Two Maids and a Mop sign.
Oh my God!
On the side of the road, and I said, "Oh my gosh, this."
That must be an amazing feeling. You made it. I guess it's almost like, you know, a rock star musician hearing their song on the radio for the first time. You know what I mean? You see that, you say, "Oh my God, that's, you know, that's me." You know.
That's true. I of course I had to. I got off the expressway, so went backwards, and took a photo of it because it felt so bad. But yeah, that is a good analogy.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the investment. You know, we have a diversity, you know, since doing the show, you know, 9 years, I mean, we've had some franchises that, you know, have an investment range of like $750,000 to $1 million, you know, $750,000 to $1 million. I mean, this is a lower investment opportunity, isn't it, Ron?
It is. Yeah. Most of our franchise opportunities have a total investment of less than $100,000, but the
okay.
total range is anywhere
That's
from
great.
62 to as much as 125.
So
that's all based on the size of the market. Some of our
right.
franchise owners have decided to scale across a larger metropolitan area, for instance, like Dallas. Others have chosen to develop a much smaller market, like Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is a neighboring city to our hometown here in Birmingham. So based on what type of market you want to enter and compete in, mm-hmm. that ultimately determines the size of the investment.
Right.
The investment.
That's great. So what does the first year look like for new franchisees? I'm sure our listeners are listening and they say, okay, you know, they try to envision, you know, what this will be like. How would you describe the first year?
Sure, sure. In our case, the first year is like any business, is ultra mm-hmm. important. Typically, we see break-even somewhere in that first year, usually between the third and fourth
yeah.
quarter of your first year of operations. The first few months are, we kind of tiptoe. We don't have big, flashy grand openings. That's never been that important to us.
Right.
In our world, we really prefer to tiptoe so that whenever we do attract and gain a new customer, that customer has hired us for the right reason. There's some value proposition to that decision, not just discount or money for reason.
Right.
So as a result, you know, we're not a little bit different than Walmart. When we open our doors, hundreds of people don't walk in. But our marathon is really the race we're trying to win. So those first couple of months
right.
are somewhat rocky.
Sure.
Our goal is to generate recurring revenue. Most of our, roughly 60 to 70% of our customer base is recurring in nature, which means they use our service at least once a week, every other week, or once
wow,
a month.
Wow, that's great, right.
So our goal is to generate 1 to 2 new recurring clients per week. After the course of one full year, you're at least 100 recurring clients. So that builds on itself over and over again, perpetually, really. So that first year is really a building block stage to really set you up for real fast growth in year 2, 3, and so on.
That's great. I guess I can ask you this question too, because, you know, in studying your background, Ron, you know, I you can see, you know, you're a real entrepreneur. You have all the characteristics of an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise? We find that so many of them are confused and they don't even know where to begin because there's like this, there's so much out there today, you know? So what would you say to them as an entrepreneur, somebody who's actually done it?
Well, for me, it's pretty simple. You know, I woke up this morning bright-eyed, ready to go. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait to get to this office. Not to,
yeah.
not just to talk to you, but to
yeah.
run this business. It's fun
sure.
for me. And secondarily, we make money here, so that's good. But for me, number one, it had to be something that was exciting. It had to be stimulating.
Yeah.
I made a lot of money prior to this. I mean, I really did. I hate to brag on myself, but
no,
corporate America.
Yeah.
I hated every second of it, though, and it just was not exciting to me. And
yeah.
I knew a long time ago that I was never going to be able to be one of those corporate just cogs, you know. So
yeah.
Number one, it needs to be a brand or a business opportunity that excites you. It can't
right.
be – numbers are important. There's no doubt that can't be discounted. But if it's just about the numbers at some point, it's always just going to be about the numbers. At some point, you have
sure.
to be excited about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You have to be passionate about it. It's very difficult for you to be passionate about a stock market investment, but with a franchise opportunity, you can be passionate. So my advice is to find that passion
mm-hmm.
and then start looking into opportunities using some actual metrics at that point. But don't let the metrics be your first buying decision.
Right, right, I see. Yeah, I think that's great advice. So I can ask you, as the founder of the company, I mean, where do you see Two Maids and a Mop, you know, 5 years down the road, Ron?
I'm glad you asked that, because we talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned our early vision to become the most innovative, fastest-growing residential cleaning service. We have a similar vision as a franchise concept. So our first, like I said, we're about a year and a half into franchising now. We have sold 14 locations, opened all of those as we speak now. Most recently opened down in Tallahassee, Florida. Our goal for the next year and a half is to open anywhere from 10 to 15 new locations. In 2017, we're going to hit the gas pedal and really go fast. And we feel like the slow, controlled growth will allow us to build the right type of infrastructure to support that fast growth that will come. But between now and 2017, our goal is to really fine-tune the overall system itself, both in terms of local operations and franchisor operations. So ultimately, we see ourselves in 5 years at anywhere from 75 to 100 locations. But in between now and a year and a half, we're going to be somewhere between 25 to 30 locations.
That's fantastic. I think that's great. What's the best way for our listeners, how they can get more information on becoming a franchisee? I know there was a couple of different websites for your organization. Which one is the best one to go to?
Yeah, twomatesfranchise.com.
Okay.
Is certainly the most detailed. There's more than more than 60 minutes of content on there. So if someone's real serious about our franchise opportunity, they'll get no better information from twomatesfranchise.com. Of course, they can always give us a call. We have some sister sites, like you said, cleaningbusinesstv.com provides
yeah,
a lot of color
of
on how to actually run a cleaning business. And that's interesting because if nothing else, you get to see myself and live in person and also my business partner. We have a lot of fun with that. But twomatesfranchise.com provides all the details you'll need, from the early story of Two Mates and a Mop to the details behind the investment of a new location too.
I thought you did a great job with that too, the Cleaning Business TV. I got to see some of those clips with you and your partner. You know, you could see a real, you know, I saw a synergy there, you know, which I thought was fantastic. I thought the show was informative and entertaining, you know, and I think you did a great job of branding yourself on the internet as well. So I have to compliment you on that as well. I think you guys did a great job on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's good to hear. So you were the guy watching it then.
I was the one who watched that there, right? Well, you know, it was great to have you on the show, Ron. You know, and I'd like to already invite you back next year as you continue to grow. You know, I've been doing this a long time now, so I can tell which franchises are going to be very successful, and this is definitely one of them. So I want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, I'm welcome.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com. Or you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services. And if you're looking for a loan to finance your franchise, simply click the Diamond Financial Services logo below. Today's podcast, you're going to get to hear from a legend in entrepreneurship and franchising, and that's Michael Gerber. And we've had Michael on the show 2 times up to this point, and the first time we had him on the show, Don and I were amazed at the amount of emails we received and listeners, and it was really overwhelming and incredibly fun at the same time. One of the questions that we commonly ask on every show is, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? And naturally, Michael's response was brilliant. So here we go.
And entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, I think before that, Mike, I think a lot of people listening might be a little surprised that your mom still tells you what to do.
Well, no, that's the problem. My mom has never told me what to do. She inspires me to do things that I never thought about doing.
Absolutely. That's great. That's tremendous. Yeah. What advice would you give to a prospective franchisee looking to buy a franchise, Michael?
Well, first of all, understand what you want. It has less to do with the franchise than it does with you. What is it truly important to you to do? This whole new emergence of the Dreaming Room, for example, really revolves around the idea that struck me that this is the age of the new entrepreneur. And the new entrepreneur is very, very much different than the one who preceded him. The new entrepreneur is more interested in a business that has meaning, not just money. So the whole question for the new entrepreneur or the one who wants to buy a franchise is really, so what's the meaning of this? What's the impact of this on the world? When we begin to look at the world and really realize that the world is in dreadful shape, you wonder then how I, in a business of my own, could have some kind of impact that would add value to the world. So I'd begin to look at franchises from that perspective. What's the value of the franchise? Mm-hmm. Presuming that I'm going to be successful, what is the value? What do I deliver that has value to my customer? What pride do I get from what it is I'm doing? What am I adding a benefit to the world as opposed to subtracting from the world, presuming, again, I'm going to be successful? So the first thing is, what does this company mean? What is the true meaning of this, and what's the impact and import of it? For me in my life, you know, I'm going to die one day, and I'm going to probably die inside my business. And what I'd like to ask myself is, will I be proud of the fact that I devoted the rest of my life to doing this?
Right.
Would I want to say this to people I love? Would I want to say this to my kids? What am I going to say to them when I describe what I've chosen to do with the years of my life that I'm going to do it in? Because, in fact, you're going to spend the rest of your life in this business or in something very much like it. The second thing I would ask, once I've decided that, yes, this is a worthy thing to do for me, a human being, how organized is this thing that I'm going to do? How organized is it? Does it have a truly kick-ass breakthrough system for doing what it needs to do, which is attract people to it as customers, which is convert those people into active customers and paying customers, and ability to convert those customers into clients, meaning they come back again and again and again and again? So I want to build or buy that capability, or I'm going to then be need to build it for myself.
Wow. It's a great. We've been asking that question now since we started the show, Michael. We never got such a great response.
Right. Thank you. Don't jump into anything quickly. Do your due diligence. And that's a good point. I mean, this might be something you've been doing for a long time. Are you going to be proud of telling people this is
strong
what you
words,
do?
Proud, yeah.
I mean, Marty, you and I have talked about people just can't jump into something that sounds great. They got to
they have to go more deeply into their own motivation.
Right.
And that's the thing that's missing almost all the time. Essentially, the prospective franchisee, the guy, the woman who decides they want to buy a business opportunity, essentially they go out there, and the one who pitches the deal the best gets the deal. And I'm essentially saying it's got to turn around the other way. The one who's going out becomes more thoughtful about what I'm looking for, as opposed to simply going out and looking for a good business to run.
Right, absolutely.
So that right there might be a strong characteristic of a successful.
Those are very deep words from Michael. Is talking about the whole, you know, what is this franchise going to mean? How do I want to be remembered? So, again, it's going very deep into that question. But, again, it's one of the best responses I think we've had up to this point. And, again, it is Michael Gerber. You know, he's sold millions of copies. His latest book is Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. And we had Michael on the show several months ago, and we spoke about the book. And, again, he's going to be in Great Quotes and Franchising on several locations. It was hard to decide which one we were going to going to use first, but this was it. So again, you're going to see Michael again in a couple other editions of Great Quotes in Franchising. That day that we did the show, following us, actually became a friend to the show, Ken Six, who hosts a show called Arbor Talk with Peter Felix. And Ken was also a big fan of Michael Gerber. Here was Ken's reaction following the show. And again, we'll leave you with that. And we'd love to hear your feedback on this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here we go.
The inventor of the resistograph.
And this is, well, need I say more, Joe? We've got a jam-packed show. Joe, you got to get Marty back on the line. I think that was Michael Gerber on his show.
That was Michael Gerber.
I tell him to call in. That guy is that he wrote the E-Myth.
He did.
We need Marty to come in for about a minute.
Yeah. That's a very good idea. Let me work on that.
If you're listening, Marty, call us up.
All right, we'll do. All right.
We'll be right back.